Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. Good to have you aboard. We're going to right into the Bible. Tonight's message, The Lady in Distress. I know you're going to enjoy it. We're going to really examine facts. And you know, facts compared to fiction, then facts, once not the norm when it becomes tradition, then tradition becomes facts. And facts become tradition. So we're going to examine the lady in distress. Now we're going to talk about the lady, and her name is Ruth. Have you ever noticed, I said last Sunday night, that Ruth was the first woman in the Bible to have a book named after her? And if you go to Matthew chapter 1, you'll find that the name Ruth is in the genealogy of Christ, along with her husband Boaz. Isn't it wonderful to have this type of recognition? But throughout, beginning in Genesis chapter 3, with our mother Eve, Eve was a type of the church, and she went astray. And so the Bible said, we like sheep have all gone astray, we've all sinned, and we've all come short. Now, by that, we needed a redeemer. And the Bible will give you an indication that there's none good, no, not one. Eve turned out to be a lady in distress. She needed a deliverer and a blood atonement. Well, Ruth was a prime example here of Christ as he fulfills the kinsman redeemer role in the end to make the atonement. And we're going to explore the genealogy of Ruth, the genealogy of Boaz, and the genealogy of Christ. Now, remember I said facts. Now, if you will put a T in front of R-U-T-H, then you've got truth. So Ruth, if you'll think about this, add a T in front of her name, and you've got the correct rendering of what this is all about. And this message tonight will be the truth, although it's going to be strange to the ears of the conditioned listener of the Bell Box Assemblies, as they have set Sunday after Sunday, service after service, and been indoctrinated that Jesus was a Jew, Mary was a Levite, and David was a Jew, and so then, the polluted bloodline, let's say the polluted bloodline, who polluted the bloodline of Christ? Or has it been polluted? And maybe, just maybe, it's been misrepresented. Maybe someone got the wires crossed. Maybe, just maybe, perhaps someone intentionally slipped the bloodline of Perez into the bloodline of David, and David, not being a Jew, we can prove that. So then why is Perez, when it's mentioned about the bloodline of Perez, why is it that his bloodline comes right behind Jacob? Isn't it interesting that they didn't even give us a descending genealogy? That somewhere, haphazardly it seems, someone has just inserted Perez, the son of Judah, right after the genealogy of Jacob. And then we get in down through the genealogy ages, we get into David. And that's where we're going to concentrate in the book of Ruth. We're going into the book of Ruth for the express purpose of proving you a type and a shadow. Did Christ shed blood? And if he did, why would he be required to give his blood. We all know that we're covered by his blood. Most Christians believe that we're covered by the blood of a Jew. And ladies and gentlemen, that's not correct. We're covered by the blood of an Ephraimite. The blood of the birthright covenant redeemer. The only one worthy, the only one lawful, if you look into the biblical law, because it is requirement of law that for the remission of sins, there has to be the shedding of innocent blood. Now, isn't that terrible? Or is it that in the great mind of our Creator, from the very beginning, He knew that the war would be to and for and against a lady in distress? This lady, as I have indicated, started out as Eve, and then the succeeding generations from Adam and Eve, we were kept in a type and a shadow of that created law that was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Now, the Bible said, search the Scriptures, for wherein you think you have eternal life, you don't have any. Many people will say to him in that day, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? And the Lord, Yahweh, shall declare unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Now, wouldn't it be a sad day? And wouldn't the fate of the individual, and wouldn't it be sad to hear him say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, when you actually thought, you actually believed that you were worshiping God in spirit and in truth, when in reality you were worshiping a false spirit? You were led astray by the evil one who came to kill, steal, and destroy. He came to deceive, just like the lady in distress in Genesis chapter 3. And just like Ruth here, we can't forget that she was a stranger in the land. And yet, when she had a choice, remember she had a sister named Oprah, and these were the wives of Mahlon and Chilion in the book of Ruth, chapter 1. That's where we're going to start now, so you get your Bible. Let's look at some scriptures in the book of Ruth on the kinsman redeemer. Now, if you'll notice in the book of Ruth, chapter 1, it indicates that Ruth married. Now, remember, Ruth is from the land of Moab. Now, remember what the Bible says, that a Moabite shall not enter the congregation of the Lord for 10 generations. Is it possible that Ruth was an Israelite, but considered a stranger from Israel because she was living among the Moabites, or in the land of Moab? That wasn't unusual in those days for Israelites to cross their own borders and move to countries to make a living. And this was during the famine that all this transpired. And the account that we have for the kinsman redeemer in the book of Ruth. So then, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. Remember, Israel was without a king in the days of Ruth. Isn't that ironic? That there was no king, no redeemer, to make redemption for the people of Israel and the people of Moab. That was not a redeemer. It was in the days of the kings when the judges ruled. Well, remember, Deborah was a judge. She was an Ephraimite judge in the land, just as Samuel was the prophet in the land, and he was an Ephraimite. Just as Joshua, who led Joshua in Hebrew, he led the children into the promised land, an Ephraimite. All these were constructive to redeem the lady, Israel, in this case, we're typing, Israel out of distress. Well, ladies and gentlemen, today, Israel is in deep distress. She's blinded. She's old. She's weary. She needs a renewal of the spirit. She's got in Satan's barbershop, as did Samson, and she's had her hair cut, and she's lost her strength. She's lost her way. She's confused. 99% of all professing Christians today would tell you that Jesus was a Jew. I hear these people on radio declaring, as they talk about God's chosen people, that they talk about the Jews. And ladies and gentlemen, again, this is false. Now, the critics that I have are the ones that haven't studied to show themselves approved. Most of the people that call me and try to take me to task for teaching that Jesus was not a Jew, that David was not a Jew, that Mary was not a Jew, that Boaz was not a Jew, that Ruth was not a Jew, Elimelech, and neither was Mahlon and Chilion. They were not Jews. They weren't even in the house of Judah. They weren't from the house of Judah. Well, you say, now, Pastor Buddy, I've heard all of my life, and it's been preached that Jesus was a Jew. Well, of course you have. Why? Because the Bible says that there will come a delusionary veil. Remember, we're talking about Boaz's covering for Ruth became a veil for the lady in distress. Israel, at the time of the redempting king of the birthright redemption plan, he came, and Israel was still blind. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was among us, and they knew him not. When Elimelech, the father of Mahlon and Chilion, who were Ephraimites, now let me spell the word for you very carefully and give you the Strong's number, and I would challenge you in your Bible search. Remember, you say, well, what difference does it make? It doesn't matter whether they were Jew or Greek. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the introductory to the key of knowledge. Remember, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, I shall lay the key of understanding upon the shoulder of the branch that will come forth from the stem of Jesse. And you say it's not important? This is the gospel that will redeem or open the eyes of blind Samson, that he may grow back into a perfect specimen to be chosen, no longer going astray, no longer eating in the pen of the swine, no longer standing in the swine's pen as the prodigal son who Christ himself came to deliver those that were in a far journey. All of it symbolic by the second Passover. And we have evidence to support that Christ was not killed in the Jewish first Passover. He died in the second Passover, and in symbology, he died for those that were scattered abroad or in a far journey or that had touched a dead body. Now reckon yourself to be dead according to the law, but alive according to Christ, Paul said, and all of these are allegorical contexts within the framework of a lady in distress. And we're talking about Israel at large. We're not talking about the sandbox where people have been fooled because the people that came there through the mandate in 1948, the people that assembled there by and large were Mongolian Khazars that possessed the land, and now they rule. They put up fences. Oh, we got that in communist East Germany, did we not, when they tried to divide the great German people and keep their power at bay? Well, don't they shoot little children in the belly and blow holes in the chest of young boys with slingshots when they fire 50-millimeter cannon into the chest of the little children that go out to hurl rocks at the tanks in defiance of the occupation, of their homes being razed and bulldozed down? little children run over by jeeps in the streets, don't even break for an Arab. The sons of Abraham. Oh, you say, well, buddy, this is all prophetic, that God's people will return to the sandbox in the last day. It is not prophetic. It's prophetic that people would believe a lie and be damned. Listen to me in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. We could give you 100 different scriptures on this in relationship to the house of Israel. The house of Israel has not congregated over in the sandbox. I beg your pardon. Now, there's a people that go there that claim that they're Jews and are not, but are liars. And how do you know? You try them by the word. You give them a word test. Most of them come from the Ashkenazis and the Sephardics and all of the other Mongolian assembly of the Khazars who adopted the Khazaric, adopted the Jewish religion in the 8th century. And therefore, by practicing Judaism and wandering through Middle Europe, Eastern Europe, and finally into Western Europe, they become the outcast vagabond gypsies, jewelers, and things of this nature, and now they have the sympathies of the world by the airing of Israel-like prophets that have no vision and are becoming as sounding brass and tinkling cymbal upon the world scene as directives that the Gentile church, which Ruth represented, has no covering but shame. No wonder we are in distress. No wonder that we're the head and not the tail. No wonder that we borrow rather than loan. No wonder that we have dug a pit for ourselves. No wonder that we're in distress in this last day when the Bible said they will cast the truth to the ground, and when a prophet gets on the radio and challenges the world at large and challenges with a monetary offer to prove one scripture, one verse out of the King James Bible where Christ or David was Jewish. Oh, you say, well, I can hear the pages clicking right now. For those first-time listeners, now if you're an old listener and you're laying back trying to catch Pastor Buddy in his words, then you catch this and you catch it well, and let it be said on the day of reckoning and the day of judgment, it will be the lamb that overcome the lion. And if you don't have the intelligence and the key to the mystery of who the lion is, who has come in to deceive the very elect, for God himself shall send you a strong delusion that you might believe a lie and be damned, that hold not the truth in righteousness. And these, as natural brute beast, these that claim to be Jews and are not, will be the tares, and all those that are deceived by them will be bundled and destroyed when the coming of the enlightened ones come upon the earth, and a restoration of eyesight has been restored to the lady in distress. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at distress stage when we should be flying our flag upside down, for the house of Israel is blind with no covering. At least Ruth, this widow woman who was the widow of an Ephraimite, she was not the widow of a Judite, and the kinsman redeemer would have had to been an Ephraimite to redeem the possession of the house of Mahlon, to whom Ruth was married. And Mahlon was indeed an Ephraimite. Strong's number 673 in the book of Strong's, when you read it, it says fruitful. Well, isn't it true that Joseph had the distinction out of the house of Joseph, Ephraim, that they would be fruitful and their branches would run over the wall? Isn't Christ descending through the branch? Ladies and gentlemen, wake up in Radio Land tonight to the greatest mystery of deception that's ever been perpetrated by the evil ones upon the house of Israel to keep us blind to our royalty and to our birthright and to our covenant and back to our redemption. No wonder Christ wept at those who rejected him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Isn't that a sign of rejection when Ruth returned? If she hadn't had the wisdom of Naomi, the mother of Mahlon and Chilion, because Elimelech was an Ephraimite. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the grandparents here, Boaz and Ruth. We're talking about the grandparents of Obed, or David, who was produced the son from their union here as a kinsman redeemer. Obed became the redeeming bloodline that Christ would come through. He's mentioned in the lineage, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, pops Perez, a Judite, into the bloodline of Ephraim. And the sympathies of the world, of Christianity, go not to the house of Ephraim. Joseph, lost in prison, you visited me not. Hungry, and you fed me not. We feed the very hand that is choking our prosperity and draining our natural resources from every Western Caucasian country in the earth. The Jews have come in and masterfully, deceitfully, those who say they are Jews, the true Jews is not who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the false Jews, the ones that claim to be the rightful owners to the birthright of the house of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a fallacy. This is a great injustice to the truth of the Word of God. But the Bible said you must first study, you must pray, you must fast, you must ask for knowledge. And the Bible says if you don't have knowledge, you shall be destroyed for the lack of it, and my people perish for the lack of knowledge, and therefore, because you reject knowledge, I shall reject you. How long, O Israel, O erring Israel, will you go and hide your head in the sand to the revelation of these scriptures and turn your back because you love tradition rather than the controversial truth that Pastor Buddy is preaching every Sunday night with the help of those that support my ministry to get the voice of the lone prophet of Joseph crying out through the earth from a deep pit in despair as the lady in distress. One of the chosen, one of the faithful, one of the few, Christ, the Redeemer, came to shed his own blood, and the law demanded a remission of sin, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, and Christ, the Redeemer, through the house of Joseph and his birthright ability, and he claimed power to the covenant, and the Canaanite Jews killed him because they knew he was the rightful inheritor. Now, if it had been one of them, they claimed to be, and he said, if you love God, you'd love me. They claimed to love God, but they hated him. He said, if you love God, you'd love me. But you see, because he was a Galilean, because he was born in Bethlehem Ephratah, not Bethlehem Judea, because the birthright country that he came from and his ancestors came from was in the house of Ephraim, Joseph, the son that was exiled, the son that was despised, the son that was hated, they hated Christ without a cause. They hated Joseph, a perfect type of the kinsman redeemer covering, and Joseph covered all of Israel with his wisdom and ability and with his love to cover as Boaz covered Ruth as she laid at his feet, a symbol of the woman that stooped and washed his feet and dried them with her hair, a covering, the beautiful analogy of the woman that washed his feet. And oh yes, there was a Jew that objected to that. I can read in the Bible where Judas complained that the oil was being wasted. It could have been sold. and given to the poor. Hockey Puck. He wanted the oil sold because he was jealous and envious of the one that oil was being poured upon, the birthright redeemer, the kinsman redeemer had come to his own. And Judas was indifferent, jealous, envious, and in on the conspiracy to kill him. And you tell me they didn't know what they were doing? When the original Greek in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, and I dare you to ask for a printout, if you don't have the money to go buy you a Greek in a linear, you should study to show yourself approved. If you don't have the money, call me up. I'll send you a free photocopy of Luke 23:34 in the English and Greek, and let you compare the two verses of Scripture to show you that somebody has muddied the text. There's distress in the lady of distress, and that is Jacob Israel, scattered abroad, blind, grinded at the mill for usury by a system of people that claim to be God's chosen people, and these are the most vicious, evil, demonic people that ever walked. They are literally anti-Christ people, and the Christian people support them blindly. Oh, my people, they that rule over you have caused you to err, and the wolf has come in to the hen house. The fox has entered in. Because he's crafty. Israel is dumb. We like blind sheep gone astray because we love usury. We break his Sabbath. We break his commandments. We won't even keep the first one. We don't have to worry about the fourth commandment until we start keeping the first one. And the first one is get it right. The first one is to acknowledge our Creator and his birthright. I am the root of David. And hear the lone voice in the forest, crying out from the deep pit where they've exiled the truth. And the lady has become in distress, and no one to deliver her. Who will deliver? Here comes the kinsman redeemer, willing to suffer and die and shed innocent blood, for without the shedding of blood, there can be no redemptive cover. When Ruth became pregnant with the seed of Boaz, she became pregnant with the seed of Ephraim. Elimelech was an Ephraimite. Mahlon and Chilion were Ephraimites, according to the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 2. Strong's number, 673, a descendant of Joseph Ephraim. And you tell me that Christ was a Jew when I can trace his bloodline from David plumb back to 14 generations to Jacob and 14 generations to Christ. And you tell me that the bloodline of Christ was from Judah? It's a joke. It's the greatest joke in history. They've made fools and a mockery out of truth and justice. We've loved the lie and shunned the truth. Oh, my. I wouldn't want to get on Christmas right about this time. We're only 11 or so days away from it. And all this paganism of worshiping the little baby Jesus, a little Jew baby that lays in a plastic manger, might as well be plastic back in the days of the Bible, because they have actually took the real Jesus, an Ephraimite, a Joseph type, from the bloodline of Joseph. They took him out of the picture and replaced him with a little plastic Jesus, and then they get up and say they don't even believe in Jesus. Oh, you're anti-Semitic when you talk about the Jews, Pastor Buddy. My heavens above, why don't you wake up and grow up and get on some meat and get off this breast of the other lady, the whore, and come to the aid of the lady in distress. The voice of wisdom crieth in the streets. The man of wisdom will see the name of the king, and they will see his bloodline and his identity, and they will come forth and preach the gospel with the blazing flame of fire, the divine Holy Ghost, spoken as they were moved upon by the power of Almighty God, with the truth prevailing over every lie that's ever been told. Because the truth will stand when the world's on fire, and if you ain't got the fireproof truth, with R-U-T-H, the lady in distress. If you haven't visited her, if you haven't... Redeemer of all, Jacob Israel, and only to his sheep will he redeem. You say, oh, that's racial covenant identity. You got it right. Racial covenant of a bloodline redeemer, and if you're not kin to Almighty God, the redeeming man that made himself flesh, if you can't claim kinship to him, then you'll never go where he's going. You'll never see what he saw. You'll never hear what he hears, because you're blind, you're ignorant, you're dumb, you're cast down, and you shall perish with the using. Touch not, taste not, and handle not, so help me God. For the laws of Yahweh are forever settled. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away. Christ was an Ephraimite from the house of Joseph, and I stand on it with the word of God at my command, with the fire of the Holy Ghost and anointing of the wisdom that God has put in my life to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. For woe is me if I fail, but woe unto you if you fail to hear the gospel and obey the commandment. For God's voice is crying into the streets through that radio waves of WWCR worldwide. We're crying out tonight. Do we cry in vain? Are you going to turn your ear from hearing the truth? Are you going to leave the lady in distress? Are you going to come to its aid? Are you going to put your money to the money changers? Are you going to invest in some salvation for those that never heard the truth? Or are you going to bury your little talent, bury your little head because you can't get around the pagan days of Christmas without having a divorce in your family? Grow up. Get real. Your woman's looking for a man anyway. If you're not man enough to set your house in order, if you can't rule over your own house, you certainly can't rule over the house of Almighty God. Where you been all your life? You eat pork. You fill your body with corrupt food. You smoke, drink, gamble, and chew, and call yourself a Christian to support the Jew. Ladies and gentlemen, this foolishness has gone far enough, and the time has come that God is calling for repentance. And without repentance, there has to be no shedding of blood. Show me where one Jew died for you. I challenge you, and I'm honest and sincere. I'm not being a smart aleck. And my message here tonight, I love you with all my... If I didn't love you, I wouldn't preach this truth. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't cry out in the streets, because I'm like the square peg in a round hole. I don't fit in the denominational system of churchianity. I graduated from that 30 years ago. Have no desire to look back and turn back. As the dog returned to its vomit and his lost wife turned back to Sodom and Gomorrah, where now we are now authorizing through the direction of the Jewish laws that it's all right to have sex with a little three-year-old child out of the book of the Talmud. It's all right to swear a lie as long as it's against a dumb sheep. And then we still support that stuff. It's all right for you to turn to a homosexual marriage. It's all right for you to preach it's racial covenant identity is false doctrine, and then you go to Israel and become racial covenant. You have to be a Jew to get in. But in America, they preach liberal laws of homosexuality, destroy the Constitution and Christian values. And the very people that we're claiming to be God's chosen people are the ones that's actually destroying the very nation that we've built. It's going down the tube fast, and except the Father intervene and come quickly, there will be no flesh saved as it was in the days of Noah, where they were race mixing and doing all these abominable things that God will bring every word and every idle word and deed into judgment, and you shall bow the knee and give an account and think that you're going to escape with your ignorance. You're destroyed for the lack of knowledge, and knowledge is coming. The truth is being declared that the house of Israel is not there in the sandbox, never to return. You'll find out later on in history what's going to happen to that place. It will be as Sodom and Gomorrah. And then the truth will be known that here in America, the greatest nation that's ever been on the planet that is now polluted with the tares that's come in to rule over the wheat. And it's a measure of wheat for a penny. And that's all we get for our labors. We labor from 9 to 5. If you're a peon, you probably labor from 6 to 6 and then take a job when you get home, and your wife has to get out of the home. You see, they've come and destroyed the home. The institution of our values and our morals have been destructed with the libertism of those who claim to be Jews and are not, but are liars out of the synagogue of Satan, who are anti-Christ, and we support them all the way. Oh, dumb Christians that we are. One of the soldiers in John 19:34 pierced him in the side, and down came water and blood. It's a covering. Water was for the agent of cleansing, blood for the covering. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Don't forget that the act of the scourging with Pilate ordered be done upon our Messiah. He ripped the skin asunder and caused vast amounts of bleeding in Matthew 27, verse 26. And the act of spiking Christ to the torture stake would draw more blood, and therefore we can conclude that Christ fulfilled the requirement of a kinsman redeemer, that he died for his kin. He didn't die for the world. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's John 3:16, a favorite quote. Ladies and gentlemen, if you was to get into the real original text, you wouldn't find that in there, because I'm going to show you it's in conflict even with the scriptures that are there. Love not the world, even the things in the world. He that loveth the world, the love of God Almighty the Father is not in them. And you tell me that God loves the world when he punishes the world for their iniquity and their sins and only come to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel? Where have you been? Well, Pastor Buddy, I took the little lady and we went over to Sunday school, and Sister Smith was talking about, or Sister Nellie, or Sister Hattie, or Sister this and Sister that. Ladies and gentlemen, let me assure you one thing. The truth will stand when the world's on fire. If it comes out of the mouth of Sister Nellie and it's truth, it'll stand. If it comes out of the mouth of Sister Sally, it'll stand. If it comes out of Ruth the truth, it'll stand. The lady in distress, we've got more women than we've got men today. We just need enough men to support the women that we've got that will stand up. As Ruth stood up and went in and she said, where thou goest, Naomi, I go. And the God you serve, I'll serve. And where you die, I will die. Isn't that a type of Christ? They hated him. They despised him. Wasn't it the little woman, Mary Magdalene? Yes, though your mother forsake you, yet will not I. Mary Magdalene stood at the tomb when he resurrected, rose conquering, death, hell, in the grave, a kinsman redeemer, go only to the lost sheep. You have to be kin to the Creator. Remember, he's the root of David. And a lot of people don't understand what I'm talking about. This is too deep, and this is a way out of your reach. This gospel of truth and salvation is so unusual that you think it's so strange. Remember, they were astonished at the doctrine of Christ when he come, and the same thing today when he declared unto them, I am not from the house of Judah. I am an Ephraimite. I am from the house of Joseph, the birthright son. I will redeem as a kinsman through the blood of David. For in Psalms 132 of verse 11, I'll swear, Almighty God said, unto David, from the fruit of his body will I come to sit upon the throne. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if he was from the fruit and the body of David, David had to be an Ephraimite. Shiflon and Mahlon and Amalek were Ephraimites. The kinsman redeemer that was near to Mahlon to redeem the land, he forfeited his right. Well, you see, ladies and gentlemen, when the house of Judah forfeited that right, Christ turned his head toward the lost sheep of the house of Israel. when they killed him in the second Passover, he was looking beyond the sand dunes. He was looking beyond the mountain at Mount Moriah, where Abraham offered up his only begotten son in a symbolic gesture, because this was a type of proving the faith of those things that were not seen. For Abraham walked by faith to see the city. He didn't see the one he was standing on, where Mount Zion would be built, where David built the house called Mount Zion. He looked over into the New Jerusalem, and there he saw the city to come, whose builder and maker and redeemer for the lady in distress was Almighty God, made flesh and dwelt among us. The amazing joy, unspeakable and full of glory of truth. How it redeems the soul. How it washes out all the iniquity. How the truth of Ruth covers our sins. What a perfect type of a lady, a church. She was a widow. She was estranged. She was separated from the commonwealth of Israel, having no hope. She was in despair. The famine was in the land. And today, ladies and gentlemen, there's a famine in the land, not for bread or water, but from hearing the truth of the Word of God. Prove all things, the Bible said. And here I have a challenge of $5,000 for anybody that can prove that David was a Jew. Oh, yes, they try. They try to claim him this way and claim him that way to be a Judite, because they see Perez here very conspicuously in my eyes. He's in there. He's been inserted there by the lying pen of the scribes, who have placed him in there to get the distinction and the reverence of being God's chosen people. Where's this man going to be born, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 6, when they gave the answer back to Herod, the Chacherot, the Canaanite Jew, who went up into Galilee to kill Rachel's children. He didn't come down south and kill Leah's children. He killed Rachel's children. It was Rachel weeping for her children, ladies and gentlemen. It was weeping for Joseph. The offspring of Joseph. Christ had to be an offspring of Joseph. And we believe the lie of the devil to be damned, to be cursed, to forfeit our rights to our kinship, to deny the covering blood and give it to someone that denies that Christ even come to shed his blood, someone that's worthy to be boiled in semen, and dipped in excrement. No wonder we're in distress. No wonder we have fell away. No wonder we've waxed cold. No wonder that we're weak and puny on the milk of the world, the traditions and the teachings of Christianity, that Christ was born in Bethlehem, Judea, when in fact he was born in Bethlehem, Ephratah, according to Micah the prophet. And it's a geographical difference, whether you agree with it or not. The proof is in the scriptures, and as the old saying goes, the proof's in the puffing. And if you want to puff on this pipe and you don't want to smoke it in peace, then war is set for you, because Paul said, my face has become flint stone, Numbers 27:11, and his father, if his father have no brethren, then you shall give his inheritance to his kinsman that is next of him in his family, and he shall possess it, and he shall be unto the children of Israel a statue of judgment, as Yahweh commanded Moses. Genesis 24:4, but thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred, and you shall take a wife for my son Isaac. Racial covenant. Numbers 5:8, but if the man have no kinsman to recompense the trespass, let the trespass be recompensed unto the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, let me read that again. Numbers 5:8. But if they have no kinsman, Ruth had no kinsman to recompense the trespass. She was a lady in distress. There was a famine. But she had the sympathies and the support of someone who was as wise as any lady that I've ever talked to. And I know I've got quite a few friends are ladies that stand for the gospel. You would be surprised at the sisters that support my ministry and stand up for truth when their own husbands will deny it. They have been ladies in distress. But I'll guarantee you and assure you that sometimes a woman will stand when a man will fall, and Ruth stood the test to trespass the recompense as a widow, as a stranger to the commonwealth of Israel, as we were strangers to the commonwealth. But the middle wall of partition was broken down, and then a blood covenant anointment of redemption was given to us on behalf of the lady in distress. And here it is in Numbers 5 and 8. If the man have no kinsman to recompense the trespass, let the trespass be recompensed unto the Lord, even to the priest. And ladies and gentlemen, we laid all of our sins upon him as a trespass offering. He shed his own blood to cover a racial kinsman elect. I am the root of David, Matthew chapter 2. I am the root of David, Revelation chapter 5. I am the root of David, Revelation chapter 22. I am the root and the offspring of David. Psalms 132 again, verse 11. I shall come through the lineage of Jesse, the stem of Jesse. In other words, right out of the root of Jesse sprang Christ. Jesse was an Ephraimite, according to 1 Samuel 17:12, Strong's number 673, a descendant of Joseph, not Judah. Oh, wouldn't it be very advantageous to be a scribe where you could alter the genealogy and you could place a misfiring truth? You see, the truth they placed in there has misfired. It's backfired. We've caught them in the act. Somebody has come in and deliberately changed the genealogy of Christ and David by slipping Perez into the genealogy when he has no business being there. The rest of them are Ephraimites. And yet the people, because of the tradition that Christ was born in Bethlehem, Judea, it don't say that he was born in Bethlehem, Judea. Again, he was born in Bethlehem, Ephratah. How long does it take for us to figure out that Bethlehem, Bethel, was where the covenant promise of the birthright son would inherit? And if Christ didn't inherit the territory allotted to the house of Joseph, then Christ, the true Christ, has not come, and the Canaanite Jews are correct. But if the Canaanite Jews are liars, which they are, he has come. They denied him. They killed him. Away with him. Let his blood be upon us. And so then, the blood of the avenger. Remember, the servitude of the kinsman redeemer also included the avenging of the blood, of righteous blood shed. For there had to be a kinsman redeemer to shed his blood. But the third stage of the development of the anti-type and types and shadows that we're teaching here of the lady in distress is that Christ will return with vengeance or revenge, and he will avenge the blood not only of himself, because he fell victim to the Canaanite Jews, but he will also avenge the blood from righteous Abel to Zechariah and all the prophets that have died since then. And there will be more to die before this is over with. Why? Because I will send you as sheep among the wolves. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Wise, wisdom, study to show yourself approved, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me close it out with one more scripture. And this is in Ruth, chapter 3, verse 12. Read it with me, if you will. And now, it is true that I am thy near kinsman, albeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. So then, and Ruth 3 and 9, and he said, Who art thou? And she said, I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. Boaz was a near kinsman, and the near kinsman that was closer than Boaz forfeited his rights, just like the house of Israel knew him not. When he came, their eyes were blind. It wasn't the Jews blind. They knew who he was. It was the eyes of Israel that were blind, according to Romans 11, verse 25 and 26. So then, the bell box preaching prophets, the braying jackasses, have preached in vain their misguided truth. They have deceived the whole world as a result, for marvel not, forsaken himself, and all his angels have transformed themselves into angels of light. They don't love the truth. They love the world and what the world can give them. They want to have television shows. They want to fly in Lear jets. They want to have great churches that hold 30 or 40,000, or they can fill the stadium with 100,000 and fly in on their Lear jets and get up and crap all over the people that are blind, and they sit right there in the crap that they give them. Nothing but tradition and foolishness and misunderstanding in scriptures. The Bible said to prove all things. Ruth chapter 4, verse 1. Then went up Boaz to the gate and set him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, and he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside down here. And he turned aside and sat down, and he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come out of the country of Moab, sells a parcel of land, which was our brother Amalek. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Amalek was an Ephraimite. This parcel of land was not in Judah. It was in Ephraim. And so therefore, because you could only own land in Israel to the tribal ensign or the tribal heritage that you had allotted to the land, because Yahweh owned the land and he divided it equally among the brethren, and they could only inherit in their birth. That's why that they had to pay taxes. Now, some people say, well, you see, Joseph, he was a Jew, and Mary was a Levite. So therefore, the King Judah tribe and Levite fulfilled the two priesthoods. That's hockey puck. You see, when he come up out of Galilee and went up to Judah, how can he be in Galilee and go up to Judah? You think that Yahweh didn't understand which way was up and which was down? He either had to go south, which was down to Judah. He went up. Now, if he was in Bethlehem Ephratah, he would go up. He wouldn't go down. If he was in Nazareth, which is where he was at, in the land of Bethel, territory of Ephraim, Joseph, he went up to Bethel from Nazareth, a distance of 7 miles. And he went and rode the 50 to 60 miles on a mule and her pregnant to pay his taxes. He went down to Bethlehem. The territory of the birthright would have been in Bethlehem Ephratah, according to Micah 5 and 2. Now, it's understood that the Genesis 35, 19 will tell you that Ephratah is in Bethel, which is Bethlehem. There was no Bethlehem Judea at the time that Jacob slipped on the stone and called it Bethlehem. Bethlehem was in Ephratah. Who has changed it? Well, does it take all day to get this message? Are you ever learning and never coming to that knowledge of the truth? Call me. We'll talk about it tonight. This is Pastor Buddy. I love you very much. Whether you think I don't, I really do. Because something strange that you've heard, don't worry about it, because the Bible says, prove all things, and we can prove that Christ was an Ephraimite and that the lady in distress was covered by the garment of our Messiah, Yahweh Shua, from the house of Joseph. Praise Yahweh, isn't it wonderful? Now, call me, area code 423-626-2172. Again, if you're a first-time listener, you don't have my telephone number, area code 423-626-2172. My address, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284 New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Write or call me. I'll be waiting on your call. I'll be waiting on your letter. Write your heart. Don't compromise with me. If you got something that you want to say, speak up. Praise Yahweh. Now, let me give you Dr. Gary's address. We need your help. Dr. Gary, this is his toll-free telephone number. Call tomorrow. 1-877-289-7439. Dr. Jack, 1-888-281-7320. Call and pledge support to our radio program. Help us get the truth of the kinsman redeemer and the lady in distress. Help us to bring Israel out of the deep pit through Joseph. And Joseph ascended out, and he ruled the world. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh's children shall inherit the kingdom and by the love and the suffering and the blood of our kinsman redeemer. I am the root of David and the offspring. So call me. That's area code 423-626-2172. Address, post office box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip, 37824. If you get the zip on there, she'll come to me. Praise Yahweh. Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call, post office box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. We'll be looking for your letter. Pledge some support. Call Dr. Gary up and Dr. Jack, the toll-free numbers that I gave you. Call them up and pledge support to our radio program. We'd like to have more of our time to preach the truth and the revelations of who Christ really was. He wasn't a Jew. Until then, this is Pastor Buddy, and I bid all of you a wonderful, wonderful week. We're in troubled times. The lady is in deep distress. Call and make a pledge to support us. We need your help. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not a sin to pay tithes and support the gospel. We're not begging. We're commanding you to do it according to the laws of Yahweh to help the truth. And if we're not preaching the truth, don't send us a dime. If you can prove us wrong, don't send us anything. If you can't, then we need your help. This is Pastor Buddy. Till next Sunday night on WWCR, around the world, the voice of truth, the Shepherd's Call. Pastor Buddy, we'll see you. Yahweh bless you.